Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
We're talking to New York congressional candidate Chris Day, Republican, the 17th District, running against Nita Lowey. So, Chris, I guess I want to continue on my questions about some of the most important things that Americans should know about you. Common Core.
Yeah, I'm opposed to Common Core. I think our country is way too diverse, both by people and by geography, in order to have a set of standards like this. It's not the core competency of a centralized government. It needs to be pushed down to the state and local governments. And the concern I have, and obviously Common Core was not developed by the federal government, it was developed by a consortium of state governments and corporations, is that there's ties to the Common Core standards within federal education money. I think federal education money should be used to incentivize innovation in education, not to tie people to certain ways of teaching. Mm. So I would move to separate those ties between the Common Core standards and the Race to the Top money from the federal funding, to allow the states to not participate or to approach things their own way, and then use federal money more to incentivize innovation.
What about teacher tenure? Everybody's debating this. Is it too hard to fire teachers?
You know, the unspoken thing, every tenure for every district is different. We need to be able to, we shouldn't have, there's a balance somewhere between making sure teachers are secure enough to engage in open discussion in their classrooms, just as a college professor should be able to, and having a rubber room where teachers who are pedophiles get paid $100,000 a year to sit and do nothing. I think teachers and everyone alike can agree that we can have tenure that doesn't protect people like that. That's my only concern with that side of things.
Let's go to healthcare. You know, 37, 38 million people are now on the rolls because of Obamacare, or the Affordable Health Care Act, as some people call it, or the other way around, as some people call it. So my question is, aren't you impressed with that?
Well, you know, I think that there's some fudging there. You know, for example, my wife, at the time, she was my fiance, she lost her coverage due to Obamacare, and she had a gap in coverage as a result of that because we did everything right. We enrolled, and New York was supposedly one of the better functioning exchanges, and there was no card sent, the check was cashed. 6 months later, finally she had insurance coverage. She's counted as someone who got coverage due to Obamacare. There's a lot of duplication in there, and a lot of people were rolled in Medicaid that are counted towards getting coverage that could have gotten it otherwise. We need to look at our healthcare system as not just Obamacare and everything else, it's one healthcare system. The problem with Obamacare, in my mind, or the Affordable Care Act, both Democrats and Republicans call it both interchangeably at this point, is that rather than fixing the foundation of our health care, which was broken to start with when it was first passed, it built a house on top of it. We need to look at a full reform we need to have. Now, there's some parts that I think Obamacare did well with in terms of coverage of pre-existing conditions, extending employer-based health care for parents to age 27 for kids. Those things make sense. That said, we need to have more choice and individual choice in healthcare and more competition amongst insurance companies in order to have actual lowering of prices. Things like the medical device tax just serve to increase costs. And the whole it's in the name, is the Affordable Care Act. And we're seeing prices start to go up again at an even higher rate than they were before. That's the biggest issue, and that's what's really held back most people from paying for their health insurance, was the overall cost of it. We need to look at it as a whole problem and attack from the start. We need to have tort reform so doctors can afford to be in business. We need to actually also have education reform so that they're not paying off enormous loans from 10 years of schooling that affect their ability to want to become doctors. People are choosing not to become doctors then. But that's not what Obamacare did. It sort of bolted on something to a broken system already.
Do you ever see a day, I'm not going to fool with you, I would love to see it, that the insurance companies were out of it altogether?
You know, I don't believe in a single-payer system. I think that there are issues in terms of quality of care and issues in terms of individual choice. I think that the insurance companies should not be dictating. But the reason why I think insurance companies have so much influence is because you have a situation where there's larger and larger corporations, and this applies to a lot of industries, actually, banking too. Larger and larger companies push for regulation that helps them and keeps out innovation and competition.
How do you stop that?
If there's 1,000 companies, no one can set the table as to what you're going to do. You just go to the other one. But if there's 3, you don't have much choice as a consumer, and then they control the name of the game.
Well, Chris, how do you stop that? In other words, I think that the banks are frankly, too big to fail. We saw that with the great crises. I think the same thing might be said about the insurance companies. How do you put a stop to that?
Well, you know, part of it is that sometimes when the government goes in and try to fix something, partially because of lobbyists from these larger companies who are trying to help themselves, and partially just because government sees its only solution is more government, they write regulations that make the cost of complying with them so much that smaller companies can't start up and they can't get going. We need to have clear standards and very simple regulations to keep Americans safe from predatory lending.
Wait, just one second. You're going to vote for John Boehner. That's if you get to be elected.
And vote for John Boehner, you said?
Yes.
No, I'm not. I have a sign of pledge to not vote for the current leadership.
Really?
Yes.
How come?
Well, I just don't believe that they're presenting a true alternative vision. You know, I think I'm a Republican. I'm a Republican because I believe in having free market, liberty-focused solutions to the problems that concern people. I don't think that that vision is being presented. I think it's become a situation where rather than addressing the concerns of people in a way that's different, it's sort of saying, well, that shouldn't be a concern.
Well, no, I don't want to question your integrity. Believe me, I don't, because I think you're a man of integrity. But I want to know whether, you know, you haven't looked at the polls and Boehner's unpopular. You're running in a Democratic district and therefore you sign a pledge not to vote for Boehner.
Oh, no, no. Well, I mean, first of all, I have been to meetings of conservative folks who all don't like Boehner also. I don't think Boehner has a huge amount of support, period, on left or right. He's kind of holding on to it by a series of deals. But his support on his right flank has also hollowed out, too. This is just a matter of getting a proactive vision. And, you know, there are people in the Republican Party who I think are trying to take it in that direction in their own unique ways. And I think we need to – I think in order for this party to succeed in 16, it needs to have leaders who are going to put out ideas and plans. I mean, I've put out a plan to deal with not just the extremely high corporate tax rate with a very complex code that hurts middle market businesses and in our economy, but also through dealing with that addresses the concerns of people with income inequality in a free market way. So to pull people off of food stamps when they're on the payroll of larger corporations, these are things that are concerns of people. We need to have unique thoughts about how we can add to it. Because, you know, in my opinion, a larger government is not the solution to things necessarily. It is inherently a government incapable of compassion, and inherently a government incapable of action when it's needed. It becomes a slow, lumbering beast, a 1950s GM. We need to have a 21st century government that's nimble and is able to do things. And I think that the free market principles that I stand by are the best way to do that.
Okay. The last thing I want to do is interrupt, but we got a minute and a half, less than that, a minute. And I wanted to know, you're the son of a very important Republican politician. You have been in campaigns. Who do you like for president?
At this point, I hate to be the one that says it's too early, but it is a little too early. I'm interested by some of the things that Marco Rubio's done. I'm interested by some of the things that Rand Paul's done. It's definitely too early to see
Mitt Romney
on that side. Oh, no, no. I, from what I just read yesterday, I don't think even his wife wants him to be.
Well, his wife said no.
But no, Mitt Romney, I think he had some good ideas. I think he did a terrible job presenting it, frankly, but he had some interesting ideas. But
okay.
No, his time has passed. I think we have to look to a new generation. And try to see where we can take the country as a whole together.
Chris Day, thank you so much for spending time with us. Chris Day is a Republican in the 17th District. He's running against a formidable candidate, Nita Lowey, and we thank you so much, Chris, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.